it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Three balls and one strike to Schwarber. The pitch swung on, hit deep center field. Siri just watching as that ball is gone. It's number 50 for Kyle Schwarber. Over the angled wall to the left of the batter's eye as Kyle Schwarber becomes the second player in Phillies history to hit 50 home runs in a single season.
What a moment last night. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Larry Anderson will join us in a moment to talk about Kyle Schwarber and everything else going on with the Phillies. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Experience the Mark's difference with showrooms in Montgomeryville and Mount Laurel. Online at marks-jewelers.com. What would you rather see Sunday? Great offense but a loss or a sloppy win? 93.1% say a sloppy win. I want to be clear also. I wasn't just talking about the offense. Like I was talking about, like there were issues everywhere. I would certainly make the case that the defensive issues were a much bigger warning flag for the Eagles on Thursday rather than the offense was.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you agree? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean you certainly can make the case.
Yeah.
The defense played better in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
Still, we don't know how much was due to the whole delay and everything.
Because we couldn't move the ball in the second half either.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Neither
yeah,
offense could move the ball in the second half.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a. Yeah. So. Yeah. I feel like everybody who disagrees with me on this, if I can have a real conversation with you, Corey was a good conversation because I think once you start thinking about it, like once I say to you, okay, they win, but Adoree Jackson's getting burned all over the field. AJ Brown has two targets. How are you feeling on Monday? It's good to get the win, but there were issues there that we need to see solved moving forward. You know,
you underestimate the power of winning. We'll gladly skewer them for the flaws as long as it's with a W.
Well, that is more fun. Yes. I have to be honest with you. As a radio host, that is more fun. There was one more thing I had on that. Oh, the bye week. We'll talk about it in a second. We have Larry Anderson now. Joins us every Wednesday at 3 o'clock. Larry Anderson, L.A., thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks for getting me back on the winning track. So
there we go. Yeah. There we go.
It's all us. It's all us. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah. So, L.A., Kyle Schwarber hits number 50 last night. What a season from him. I guess I don't have a question other than your enjoyment watching a guy like that have a season like this. How has that been?
It's remarkable. I was saying last night, and I'm sure a lot of people have said it, that, you know, it's only a matter of time. He's not going to stay in this, and it's going to happen. I guess I didn't hear it. I apparently Krucky called it, or
yeah,
someone called it. So, everybody, you watch him, you just know something good's going to happen. He was hitting the ball hard. He was lining out, and so he was getting back into the swing, getting his timing back. And that ball, I mean, it's like coming out of a cannon when he hits it.
Yeah.
And then I didn't realize till after the game we got our post-game notes where he's the only player to hit four home runs in a game and hit 50 in the same season.
Wow. I did not know that.
Only player in the history.
Mm.
That's a lot of – I mean, there's only, I think, 21 now that have hit four home runs in a game, but none of those guys ever hit 50 home runs the year they hit four home runs in a game.
Yeah, only 21 guys that hit four home runs in a game, only 34 guys that hit 50 home runs, and he did both of them. It reminded me of when 50 home runs happened again, because it was Cecil Fielder, you know, what was it, 93, something like, or 92, like, whatever it was.
Yeah.
But it just, I think to a certain extent, the steroid era, like, blurred what a big deal 50 home runs is. And it's just massive. And it's, you know, it's understandable because it actually happened to Judge a couple years ago when he was chasing the record that he got stuck on 61. I'm sure on some level Schwarber gets to 49 and he's thinking about it, maybe presses a little bit. So hopefully this will just, you know, open the dam a little bit for a normal Kyle Schwarber, which we haven't seen in the last few weeks.
Yeah, but going forward, I mean, what a great time to get back on track. And yeah. I do think we were talking after the game, Murph and I were talking about how this could set him off, you know, getting that 50th. And, you know, I'm sure Kyle, he always says the right things, you know, but he's human too. So I look at it like he says the right things, but you can't tell me that it's not in the back of his head. Like, man, I got to get this 50th, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then, you know, and that can affect a lot of things, you know, your emotions, your mentality, you know, going to the plate, whatever. But now he's got it. Now it's kind of like just relax and get back to being him. And like he said, you know, he just wants to hit the ball hard. And if he does hit, if he does barrel it up, if he gets it airborne, it's probably going out because he's that strong. He's got that great bat speed through the zone. And it's just, it's almost like you just, when he goes that long without it, you're like, oh man, what's wrong with this guy? You know, you expect it. I mean, and he carries the team for a lot of times or has. And to see him go in a drought, you're like, and then you know, losing Bohm, losing Turner, you're like, oh no, this is not the time for him to be, you know, not struggling. Well, struggling.
Yeah, he was struggling.
Run,
yeah.
So just a great sign to see him hit that. And again, like you said even before, the last couple games he was lining out, hitting some balls hard. So felt it was just a matter of time where he's back on track. Now that he's got it, who knows? I'd love to see him hit 60.
It's
might be tough, but
well, you never know. He goes on a run, you know. It's funny. Before the season, when people were talking about extensions, I was one person saying, "Hey, let him go out there and earn it. Let's see if he has a good contract year season." And I'll tell you, LA, he certainly had one of the greatest contract year seasons of all time. So not as this good for the Phillies, I will tell you, it'll be good for Kyle Schwarber's wallet after this season is over.
I'm pretty sure either he or his agent will just send out checks to each ball club. Just blank and
blank.
Fill it in and let it, and then just put down the number of years you want and we'll go from there.
Absolutely.
I mean, pick your team. Do what you want. I mean, somebody's going to pay them a lot of money. I hope it's us. But you know, that's not my decision. It's you know, much higher up than me. So, I mean, it's just a joy of watching him and the way he carries himself and what a good guy he is, you know, through the course of his whole career here. That the time he's been here, it's just you would hate to lose somebody like that, but it happens. It's a business.
Yeah, you go from one potential free agent to another.
Yeah,
Ranger last night and what he was able to do. I know he's one of your favorites, LA, and watching him pitch since Zach Wheeler has gone down. I mean, he had a couple of those starts prior to that where we were like, man, what is going on with Ranger? But he looks like he could easily be the ace of the staff right now since Zach has gone down. What have you seen that Ranger is doing different and that allows him to be effective the way that he was last night?
The one to me, the biggest difference that I've seen is the use of his curveball in this second half, or maybe even a little longer than that, but specifically from, I think, more from the second half, where he's using his curveball more. And I think that's another weapon that he didn't use much. He would, you know, his changeup, his cutter, his fastball, and he had those, but it's like, it was like one off speed pitch that was, you know, like your changeup is like looking like your fastball, but it's obviously slower. But now you get a breaking ball it's like another changeup with a different shape to it or a different look to it. You know, it's breaking down, whereas a changeup, you know, breaks down a little bit down, but away from a right hander. The curveball is, you know, coming straight down or maybe into a right hander a little bit, you know, but he can backdoor it. I think that his curveball has been the biggest difference in the success he's had of late, especially with the strikeouts he's having.
Yeah, you know, it's funny when we all talked about the velocity going down, especially when he was struggling there. And I kept saying to myself, he can't keep on like this. Like, there's no way he can keep being successful. But then you just, in this age of velocity, I had forgotten there are plenty of pitchers in the history of baseball that did not throw 100 miles an hour and had superior control and just were great pitchers. And Ranger is not only just a great pitcher, he's also a tough SOB up there. And I think we would all, as great as Chris Sanchez is, and as like, I feel no nerves with Ranger Suarez on the mound during the playoffs.
None at all.
Yep.
None at all. And his command, you touched on it, is like, I say control is being able to throw a strike. Command is being able to throw a strike in the strike zone where you want.
Yep.
And he's got the command. When he can throw that fastball or cutter in on the right-handers, he had some strikeouts last night at 91 miles an hour by Alonso. So, Well, Soto's, he's got the best numbers against Soto as anybody, has, or better than anybody has. But just, you know, when they want to look for something, it's like he's playing chess out there on the mound while the hitters are playing checkers. And it's not really a competition. It's, he has them baffled. It's like he knows what they're looking for and he knows not to throw that. It's remarkable that they're looking for something off speed. He throws a fastball by him at 91. It's like, wow. I mean, everything he does, I said it, he changes the eye level up and down and he changes the eye level in and out. So you got a hitter, it's like he's kind of just rolling around in that batter's box, not knowing to lean in, lean back, lean forward. You know, it's just, he just does it so well. And it's his command, being able to command the strike zone is just phenomenal. So I agree with you totally, Spike. I have no qualms or questions about him facing anybody going in the playoffs.
And the thing about being able to throw strikes and being able to mix it up is it just like you throw early strikes, it's all about leverage with the pitcher and the batter. And if it's 0-1, all of a sudden Ranger has leverage. And if they don't know what's coming and they're not going to guess in first pitch swing, it's just like it just seems like, and when you compare him to Nola, who we'll talk about in a second, Nola feels like even in a good start in the at-bats, he's always catching up. Like, whereas Ranger, it always feels like the batter is trying to catch up to him, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and there's never any panic. Murph and I were talking in the post game. I was like, I would be curious to see if he went and had to go get an EKG, would anything show up? You know?
Yeah.
It's like, and I mentioned, you guys might know, but Hondo Havlicek. I mean, they talked about the great Boston Celtics player that, like everybody talked about him, like he didn't have a pulse. Like he could just keep going and going and going. And just, I don't know why that came to my mind, but that reminds me of Ranger. It's like nothing phases him. Nothing bothers him. He doesn't panic. And it was really rare when he got upset with the umpire, you know, a few starts back or four starts back, whatever it was.
Yeah.
That was just so out of control for him. And it affected his pitching. There's no doubt. But other than that, man, he's just been phenomenal.
Well, also for what it's worth, he was right about the umpire. So speaking of Nola, he goes six innings, no runs, which was really, really good to see. He has struggled pretty much all year. Did you see anything different from Nola in his good start as compared to the ones where he struggled?
Used his curveball and his changeup almost the same amount.
Okay.
Now, to me, that's a big difference. He threw one cutter. I guess it was a strikeout of Soto. I didn't notice it was a cutter. I wasn't looking for it, but I didn't think he'd thrown a cutter all night. And then when they said that was a cutter, I'm like, I don't remember seeing that ball cut. And I guess it did, but punching out Soto with that. But the other thing, the big thing I think was using his changeup more. And he's got a good one. I think sometimes he just doesn't have a feel for it. But he had a feel for it, and I think that was a big difference. He'd go with off-speed with his curveball or his changeup, and his fastball, although it wasn't at the knees for the most part, it was, you know, just above it. He was lower in the zone, but when he wasn't down, he was on the corners. And that's, you know, if you're not down and you're not on the corners, that's when he gets beat up bad. But he was, I still think he could, and he knows it. He knows it. Like I say, it's a matter of 3 to 4 inches. If his wrist is kind of turned where his hand is parallel to the ground, that's when he's under the ball, and that's when he elevates it, and he's not trying to. When his wrist is up and it's perpendicular to the ground, that's when you can throw downhill and get the ball down to the knees, and it's just a matter of moving, keeping your wrist up. When he throws his curveball and we see it going straight down, he's on top of that. And if he could just get the feel of his fastball, getting his wrist in that same kind of position, up and down, instead of kind of tilted to the side, I think it makes all the difference in the world.
You know, L.A., Jack certainly knows the difference between 3 and 4 inches, you know, can make a big difference.
It's called a big dose of D.
He does have two children. So, yes. L.A.
Two for two.
So, L.A., final thing.
A lot going on in that answer, LA. I'm just saying.
Now. Yeah.
A lot of wrists moving up and down.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on.
He
was whacking that thing.
Oh. Oh, mercy.
Oh, I love this show. Okay. So, last thing, LA, and again, I like to ask questions, but this is going to be more of a statement looking for your response. I just think the Phillies this year, certainly compared to last year, feel particularly resilient. There have been, when you look at their record, they're 9 games up on the Mets, you know, 4 games up on the Dodgers, 4 games out of the best record in baseball. We've missed Harper for a month, Bohm for probably a month combined, Nola for 2 months. Wheeler is out. They lost Alvarado to a suspension. Now Trey is out. And it just seems like the sort of rally around, play your best baseball at the end of the year, you know, keep moving attitude that we wanted to see. It just feels like the Phillies are doing that this year, and it's been really encouraging.
I couldn't agree more. Like, I'm telling you, it's when you lose, you know, your ace, you lose your top, if not, you know, a guy, MVP candidate at short, Bohm's out now. But I would be curious to see what our record is since we lost Wheeler. It's got to be pretty good, and because everybody's stepping up, and it's not like they're doing more. They're doing what they're doing, what they're capable of. They're doing, I hate this term, but their best version of themselves. I mean, they're pitching where they should be, where you expect them to be, and where they want to be, and they're hitting at the top of their game. They're not. It's everybody's doing it. It's like everybody knows I got to do my job. If I do my job, we'll, you know, everybody else does their job, and that's what seems to me like what's going on. They're not doing anything extra. They're just doing what they're absolutely capable of, and it's just coming out. And it doesn't matter who, somebody goes down, somebody comes in and picks them up. Bader, look at what he's doing. I mean, it just all around. Cassie's gotten some big hits, even though it's, you know, been, you know, not playing every day. It's more of a struggle. Kepler playing a little more. Everybody's doing a great job, and it's fun to watch. And so, and it is the resilience. And when you talk about all the losses they've had, and they're still where they're at, what, 25 games over? It's phenomenal. And I think I look for them destined to really get after it going into the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah. I'm excited. Last year, I was terrified of the playoffs, if I'm being honest. This year, I'm looking forward to seeing what they can put together. So,
yeah, great.
All right, LA. Wow, all this good news. I don't even know what to do.
Positivity.
Yeah. It's incredible. Yeah.
Yeah.
You want me to bring up umpires again? I'm just kidding.
No,
all right, LA.
All right, brother.
There he is, the great Larry Anderson.
I believe they're 15-7 since Wheeler went down.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right.
That's
good.
The 682 win percentage.
Yeah.
And that's with the 3 games that cheating Citi Field.
Yep. Well, we don't know if it's cheating. We're just asking questions.
Did that happen out the Wills?
Yes.
Yes.
I did? Okay.
Yep. Yeah. Remember the first series. So the first game after Wills was that one Nationals game. I think they won 11-9. Then they swept the Mariners.
Okay.
And then 2 or 3 from somebody, and then Citi Field.
Okay.
After. So Ross Tucker, was this morning show today or was it midday show? Or was it neither?
So Ross Tucker, it was on the morning show.
Okay, so Ross Tucker, you're looking for the audio.
Found it!
There you go. Ross Tucker had something to say about Jalen's game on Thursday. Here's what he had to say.
You know, I don't say this lightly. I think it's one of the best games I've ever seen Hurts play.
Wow!
Oh, God.
I think he almost single-handedly willed them to win that game. And I saw a couple of clowns on social media point out, like, you know, that he didn't throw the ball downfield that much. I can't tell you how impressed I was with Hurts in that game. Look, they didn't play very well. They couldn't run it very effectively. They weren't getting open. A.J. Brown didn't look totally right to me. I don't know that he had a bad ball all game.
So he played well. Like, it's not the best game he's ever played. And And like, I think it's a disservice to Jalen Hurts when we say that Thursday night was the best he ever played. Like, it is not
the best. Certainly not the best he's ever played.
It's not the best he's ever played. He played well.
Yeah.
He played. We should not put a cap on what he is capable of, just in an effort to be like, you know, Ross is talking about things he saw on social media that were ridiculous from a negative standpoint. Like, you're just making it as ridiculous by saying, I respect Ross a great deal, obviously. I love Ross Tucker, but it's just not the best game he's ever played. We saw him play better games last season. He didn't have a great season.
Yeah, he's going to have five other games in his career. Yeah. Better than that game.
It was a good game. And, yeah. And I agree with a lot of what he said. Look, the run game wasn't working. The defense wasn't playing well. He scrambled particularly well. Mm-hmm. He found ways to do stuff, but it was not the best game he ever played.
No.
It just, right.
Hell, he would tell you it's not the best game he ever played.
Yes. I want to be able.
Jalen would tell you that.
AJ would say the same thing.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think AJ would say it.
So, real quick.
Yeah, yeah.
The AJ thing. When do we start to get concerned that this is a physical thing with AJ?
And by the way, not just an injury, but a combination of all the injuries.
Oh, everything, yeah.
Limiting him in a way that he may not, you know, be the old AJ at some point.
Right. I mean, we've heard several people say he didn't look like he was himself. He didn't look explosive. He didn't create separation. You know, I don't know if that's sort of an explanation or an excuse for why the passing game wasn't effective. Jalen doesn't see a guy open. He's not going to force a throw.
Yep.
Right? So he has to come off of a read. I don't know how much of that is true, but I do know it's been several people who I respect that look at film and stuff, right?
Yep.
And that have at least mentioned that.
Yeah. It would be a huge problem.
And so here's what I would say to
people. And by the way, you asked when do we start wondering?
Yeah.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
well, if he goes out and have a good game Sunday, I wonder do we
scale it back a little bit. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know because he is so important. Obviously, the quarterback is the most important player on offense, but for our offense, it never looks like the offense when A.J. Brown's not in there. It never does. It never does. They can win games without him in there, but the offense does not. I have not seen the offense look great without A.J. Brown in there at any point.
No. And listen, I mean, from a passing standpoint, how many times did it look great with him in there last year?
Well, that's a good point.
When he was in there.
And your point about him physically, the thing that blurs it, that makes it hard to figure out is he's been healthy and also they haven't gotten him involved in the game too. So you try to, it's really difficult to figure out. You know, I watched a whole, like this guy, Sean Syed, breaks down film. And I watched a whole 12-minute thing on all of A.J. Brown's routes. And they had him breaking in a lot. And I guess the way he explained it is they're playing zone and you have him breaking in all the time. He is running toward the other defenders as opposed to running, you know, down the sideline where he's running away from the other defenders. Yeah. So the question is were they doing that because they were worried about him being able to break away from guys on the outside and they're trying to get him, you know, those quick little in routes or whatever, or is it like, is that on Petullo or is it a scheme issue or is it an AJ issue?
Right.
Sunday will show a lot.
Yeah.
Sunday will show a lot because Justin Herbert just threw for, I'm not saying Jalen has to throw for 300 yards, but their wide receivers, 83% of Justin Herbert's throws went to wide receivers on Sunday on Friday. And they scored 30 some points and he had 300 plus yards and three touchdowns. That looks like a team you can throw the ball on.
Well, and here's where AJ is a separate entity with the passing game concerns.
Yep.
Then there's the passing game concerns.
Yes.
Because Devontae Smith wasn't a part of the passing game either.
That's a fair point. Yes.
Then there's the passing game concerns. Because I could see if you targeted Smitty eight times and, you know, he got seven catches for 85 yards and a touchdown. It's like, okay, well, at least Smitty is doing his thing over there. Like, nothing but little out routes to Dallas Goedert was working.
And
the one down, the one deep ball to
Dotson.
Jahan Dotson, yeah.
And the other thing being is first of all, I don't buy the decoy thing anyway, but it's also not like Saquon had a great game.
Right.
So it's not like Saquon was running all over the place and the wide receivers being out there created all this space for Saquon.
Which was a common explanation for why the passing game wasn't explosive last year, yes.
But we didn't get an explosive Saquon. He looked great. Saquon looked fine, but...
But your point is that it's not like they were just running the ball and not passing the ball.
He averaged less than 3 yards a carry.
Yeah.
So, all right. Coming up next, Flyers and 50 with Broads is one of...
some good news.
Jonesy talked this morning. And then, you know, I think we have an ultimatum we got to throw by Broads from a Philly standpoint. So we will get to that next. 215-592-9494. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. The WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We have Flyers at 50 with Broads coming up in a second. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Experience the Mark's difference with showrooms in Montgomeryville and Mount Laurel. Online at marks-jewelers.com. What would you rather see Sunday? Great offense, but a loss or a sloppy win? 93.7% say a sloppy win.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Well, you know, they try to explain the truth to some people, and they just they want no part of it. Do we have Broads yet or no?
Yeah, Broads is there.
Okay, Broads, you there?
I am here. Oh. I am super excited. It's a day, you wake up on a Wednesday, right? And you think about Jalen Hurts, you think about all the phenomenal plays that he makes, you realize
Keith Jones speaks today.
Oh, hold on, I didn't get to my point yet.
Okay.
And Keith Jones speaks today. Ah. And you get to hear from the president, the chairman of Comcast Spectacor. I mean, does that tickle your fancy any more than that? I mean, come on now.
I think it could. Are we actually getting Flyers? Hit it, Jack.
Flyers in 50 with Hunter Brody.
It feels good. I got something to say. Now, a little good, a little bad. The good, they are ready to take the next step. We are finally getting to a point where we're not going to sell off players at the deadline for more assets, and we're going to try and get high picks and just go after talent. No. It's time to start winning hockey games. It's time to start getting on the ice and playing with a purpose and having a power play that can move the puck, and you can score 5-on-4, 5-on-3, kill all penalties, special teams, stop the puck in the net. That's what they tell me. That's what they tell
Hold
me.
Hold on. What did Jonesy say?
I don't hear you. My head, I knocked everything out. Hold on. I hear
it was just a press conference, you psycho, that they probably lied at.
He knocked his headphones. Yeah. His buzzer went off. The buzzer went off. The buzzer went off. What did Jonesy say, even?
Oh, should I said something about that?
Yes. Why are you so fired up?
I'm sorry. Well, he was talking about how, like, we're no longer just going to be a team that, you know, last year unacceptable, that would be a disappointment. We're ready to stop selling off assets. It's time to start winning hockey games. Forster and Michkov and Noah Cates and Sanheim and a lot of the guys, like, let's go. Let's go, which means 7 o'clock.
Okay, all right. Enough.
I
didn't even know hockey had special teams. I just learned that. I appreciate that.
What do you mean? What do you mean? A little 5-on-4, people?
A little power play.
Penalty kill action, block shots, get pucks out of the zone, use the glass.
All right.
Do you even know hockey, or are you just saying a bunch of terms?
Yeah.
Both. I'm just saying crap, but I do know hockey.
Okay.
Hold on!
We have something more important to talk to you about.
What the hell is going on here?
You got to relax for a second. We're drawing a line with a couple of people at this radio station, and you are one of those people we're drawing that line with. It is you and Elliot Shore Parks.
Jesus.
And we're monitoring the Ike Reese situation.
Yeah, we are monitoring Ike in the same situation. Here is the issue, Broads. Is like, we believe, just like I am accused of being a hater with Jalen Hurts, blah, blah, blah. You and Elliot are Philly's haters. And we are coming down the home stretch of the Philly season. They are playing good ball. And I know, after all the hating you did this offseason, that if they play well in the playoffs, you're going to be dancing on your own and Red Octobering and all that.
And foaming at the mouth.
Yeah, all I got to say, buddy, is you got to pick a side. Are you a hater or are you not a hater? And Elliot's going to have to do the same thing. If you're just going to be a hater, you're going to have to stay on that side.
I am not a hater, and this is what I'd like to do over 162. I ride, this may shock you, I ride the emotional roller coaster.
Okay.
So the high highs and the low lows, when they take me down a dark hole, I'm sorry, I lose my cool. But when you give me a nice journey and a nice push and a good strong 10 games, then it's like, let's go, baby! Let's go! Time to win some playoff baseball games! So that's just what I do. I love this team. It's just, I realize that there are some huge flaws within them, but maybe I was a little wrong on Dave Dombrowski's deadline, because Harrison Bader looks to be a stud, and that changes everything. You had the worst center field and outfield in the history of baseball. Now you got Bader. You can plug in and lead off if you need to. Guys, right now, Brandon Marsh is playing electric baseball. So they've turned it around. I'm on the ride. I'm enjoying the ride. It's just sometimes I hate them.
I don't think Burrows is a Phillies hater. I think he hates some players. Like Trey, I don't think he's a big Trey
hater. MVP of the team? Trey hater? You're a Trey hater?
Well, second MVP of
no,
the
MVP.
team.
No, MVP. MVP.
You sure about that?
So, I apologize. I'm a bad guy. I tweeted out
I'm a problem.
I tweeted out, I'm finally appreciating Trey Turner. 29 minutes later, this dude has a grade one string in his hand.
Maybe you need to stay on that side then. Maybe you need to stay on the other side.
I think I just have to hate everybody. 29 minutes. I couldn't get a half hour of enjoying the shortstop. Now he's gone for some time. But look, guys bothered me throughout the year, but I do love the Phillies. It's just I held them to a high standard all year because, well, I felt this was our last crack at it, and I wanted them to be great, and they have been great-ish, but there's been a lot of issues within the great ish, and here we are. But now I'm opening up my heart, and if it breaks, it breaks.
I don't know if this is passing the sniff test.
Listen, bro, I think you're perfectly fine.
No, of course
you're perfectly fine.
Yeah,
you know, these two are sensitive, and they're being gatekeepers of the Phillies now. All of a sudden, they're gatekeepers, and we can't be Phillies.
Well,
fans.
I've long been a gatekeeper.
Yeah,
all right, this is not the first rodeo with this.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
But Spike is new on the gatekeeping thing that I didn't see coming.
Which
frankly.
Is definitely going to amp up the gatekeeping if he's on that side of it. Yes. It's definitely going to amp it up.
Yeah.
I've seen this before.
Yeah. I'm a real, real problem. You want to see gatekeeping.
Elliot,
yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah.
You go ahead.
I'm just saying, I do feel that I have an Elliot kind of take when it comes to this baseball team, which is very concerning. Maybe it's not Elliot-ish, but it kind of feels underdogish now, doesn't it? Like, you know, you got who's playing second base today?
Stott.
Fritz. No. He's playing shortstop. Fritz, who's playing second base?
Donovan Walton.
Who
the hell is that?
They got him off waivers a couple months ago. He's been kind of hitting well at Triple-A. And he's a depth guy.
I asked you about Stott playing shortstop the other day.
Well, yeah, because he's getting work out there where I was confused.
But I'm just saying, like, at this point, it's like my mental state with this team is so wacky that at this point, what is this? And I'm almost enjoying the fact that I don't even know who the hell half these guys are. I don't know what the lineup's going to be every day, but I'm enjoying the way they're playing the game and they're attacking like they're a bunch of underdogs out there.
Well,
I don't know. Is that a weird take?
No, I think it's because the Mets, even though they had one of the biggest payrolls in baseball last year, were perceived as underdogs, you know, because I think the difference is I think nationally people think the Phillies are good. I don't think they can spin the underdog thing. Remember, everybody picked them to win the World Series last year. You look at every power ranking, they're top three. So I don't, but if they feel that way, if they want to motivate yourself, however you motivate yourself, and they have been through a lot of injuries this year. So, all right.
They need Jalen in that locker room to give him a little push.
To do what?
I'll take an ugly win, by the way. Ugly win all day long. What would Andy say? Like, yeah, that was a pretty loss, boys. Yeah. Good job. Can't wait to go to work on Tuesday.
Well, oh, you're just not sure you're going to see anything pretty from your guy, and that's why.
Oh, you stop it. 320 yards, maybe 21 of 24 passing. The only... Damn it, that wasn't funny.
Yeah, no, that was a good one. All right, Broach, when are you on WIP again?
Tomorrow night, 10 o'clock.
There he is.
There he is.
Was it Broads? Shoot, I haven't said it. Broads 81 on Twitter? Is that what it is?
That's correct.
There he is. Hunter Brody. Broads.
My man.
Great job, Broads.
Meechkoff.
Yeah, Meechkoff.
He's coming.
He's coming. By the way, can we get Battle? I know he only makes, you know, one round of promos for the show for the year. But can we get Battle to change the Flyers and 50 thing to Flyers and 50 with Broads instead of Hunter Brody?
Yeah, no one knows who Hunter Brody is.
No, he's Broads.
Like, we're killing Dan Wilson. He's now Buzz.
He's Buzz.
Like,
yeah.
You got to move, fit into what we do here.
He's Broads.
Yeah.
215-592-9494.
His name was Hunter Brody.
Yeah. Well, no one does. Yeah. He's Broads.
I thought it was Broads. Yeah.
Jeff in Wilmington, you're on WIP. What's up, Jeff?
Even Jack slips a couple by the goalie every now and then.
Yeah, he sure did. Yeah. Yeah.
Two for two.
Yeah.
First of all, I will take a sloppy win over a whatever you call that loss. Because at this time of year, dude, you got to stack wins. The whole goal is to get to the number one seed. And however you get there doesn't really matter. You're going to play good football, like Ike mentioned earlier. By, you know, by week 5, 6, or 7, they're going to be hitting their stride.
Well, okay.
So I'll take the sloppy wins now because that's kind of what we did last year from week 5 on to like week 8 or 9.
Yeah, now I understand the stacking wins thing, especially with the way this schedule is. A very tough schedule this year. But remember, it's not just offense. And for you to say, like, I think the problems will you know, in weeks 5 and 6, they will. Remember, our change over the year last year was because of a drastic change in gameplay. Now, defense just got better, but the offense drastically changed how they were playing. I don't think it's going to happen this year. The other thing is like, I'm not so sure that their cornerback 2 problem is solvable. I'm not so sure that the edge problem is solvable. So, like, when I say look good on Sunday, if we saw a good defensive effort along with a good, you know, offensive performance with a loss, I can...
We still lose.
Yeah, I can imagine a scenario where I feel better about that than after a win.
Yeah.
I
feel weird with you coming in here saying you feel good after a loss.
Oh, I'm not going to do that. Don't worry about it. Yeah, just burn this show. Yeah.
I would feel better about the team, but I would still be upset that they lost.
Yes, well, that's fine, obviously. Okay. Yeah.
The other thing, I'm with you. Look, I love a good conspiracy theory, although I don't believe hardly any of them. But this thing with the Mets, what do you think about the fact that microphone that was out in center field? You think that could be?
Bone called it. Everybody wanted to rip him over.
If it was anyone else.
Yeah, it's just give me anybody, literally anybody. Otto Kemp.
Like, if it was anyone else.
Other than Bohm. Jeff, I have another point on this, but give us your for next question today. The food you like best watching TV with?
Yes, dude, I'm a sandwich guy. If you give me a roast, I'll make a roast beef sandwich with butter, lettuce, a little mayonnaise, mustard. But I gotta have
what the hell is butter lettuce?
New England clam chowder. New England clam chowder along with it. Butter
and roast
lettuce.
Beef?
You gotta try it. Yes.
So you're eating clam chowder? That's your TV food?
It's a big answer.
It's the weirdest answer I ever heard, Jeff.
But with the sandwich.
It's a good
sandwich
one.
Sandwich and the soup combo.
I hear you. I never heard it before.
That is bougie right there.
The hell is buttered lettuce?
No, butter lettuce. It's a kind of lettuce. It's like, so you know how iceberg lettuce has like the hard edges or whatever? Butter lettuce is good to have on a sandwich because it's sort of like soft and just lays over the sandwich. I'm just telling you.
It's lettuce, bro.
Nah.
There are different kinds of lettuce.
Just lettuce, bro.
Come on, man. You are
there's romaine lettuce.
Yeah.
There's iceberg lettuce.
Yeah, and there's butter lettuce.
I don't know if I've seen butter lettuce.
Yeah. Butter lettuce, that's what they use for, like, if you're a little, you know,
fancy.
Wraps.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Lettuce wraps.
Is that the lettuce wrap thing?
Yes, you could use butter lettuce in a lettuce wrap. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I was going to say, like, buttered lettuce would kind of defeat the point of having lettuce.
No, it doesn't have butter on it.
I get it. Okay. Take it down a notch.
You take it down a notch. 215-592-9494. We're all going to take it down a notch. You know who doesn't take it down a notch? Cars are. 0% chance of him taking it down a notch. John Ashdale. Now, look, when you show up at Colonial Hunter, they're not going to be yelling at you. Like, I guess they do take it down a notch. Their entire job is to get you in and out of there with no hassle and solve whatever problem you have, whether it is whether it's financing, whether it's the price, whether it's your trade, whatever it is. they know, the staff at Colonial knows that they got to get you through it. Every new Hyundai from Colonial, one of the 200, over 200 on the lot right now, comes with America's best warranty, 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain with Hyundai Assurance, and then they'll get you through all your issues. Big trade incentives for your piece of junk trade that you're worried about not getting enough for. Best financing in the business, no matter what your credit is, as low as 0% financing. And the best part, you get in, you get out, no hassle. Do not wait. At any time, any day, you can go to ColonialHyundai.com or you can visit them on Lincoln Highway in Downingtown. Colonial Hyundai, the fast, easy, better way to buy a Hyundai. 0% financing applies to new select Hyundai. No, I'm going to start that again. 0% financing applies to select new Hyundai models. $6,500 for your trade, not available on EVs. Offers can't be combined. Includes all rebates and incentives. See dealer for full details. So we're going to do high hopes here. I just, do we have enough space to do it here? What do you think?
Yeah, get it out of the way.
Yeah.
Wow. Just another day.
Yeah. All right.
Once again, this is why we're monitoring the Ike situation.
Yep.
Monitor. He doesn't want to get lumped in, but I don't care.
Yep.
No, I'm not. No, you guys are backing me into a corner.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Everyone's picking sides on this
exactly,
show.
Yes.
Everyone's picking sides.
Right. By the way, the High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report presented by Paramount Plus. Sylvester Stallone is back in the original hit series Tulsa King.
Whoa.
Yes. This season, Dwight faces his most dangerous adversaries yet, forcing him to fight for everything he's built and to protect his empire.
No way.
Stream the new season of Tulsa King on Sunday, September 21st, exclusively on Paramount Plus.
His name is Dwight.
It's time for the High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report.
Joining me right now is Jackie Baseball, Fritz.
Yes, Jackie Baseball.
Sylvester Stallone can't be named Dwight.
Yeah, he can't be named Dwight.
Well, all I think of is Dwight's from The Office.
Yeah.
That guy's protecting his kingdom
yeah.
or whatever.
Well, I don't know. What a weird name for Sly. Dwight.
Seriously, yeah. Dwight.
Yeah, know your guy. Be Dom.
Yes.
He's yeah. Italian.
You don't think
Italian
that's
Italian guy's named Dwight.
Yeah, I didn't name him.
Well, it sounds like you're a real expert on the show, Tulsa King. So you
I
need
am
to,
not.
If you can go home and watch all of it, and then for
and
tomorrow's
report back.
Read.
Report back.
If his name is really Dwight.
Okay.
All right, so yeah, Stotter's playing shortstop tonight.
Yeah.
So, which is very interesting. Kemp's at third base, and Donovan Walton, household name, is starting at second base.
Why no Sosa? Right-handed pitcher?
Yeah, why no Sosa?
Get him a little off night.
There's no
Sosa
time.
Needs an off night.
There's no
he's a
time
damn
for
backup
off
already.
We got to see what Walton can do. I don't know what you want.
Well, so play him at third. Play Sosa at third.
I mean, Sosa's a great defensive player. That's what I'm talking about. Like, yeah, like his defense.
I don't win Yaya last night. All right.
Yeah, he did.
It was his birthday. Yeah, we know.
9/9/99.
Yeah. I wish we had known that prior to our player of the game.
Oh,
I would have. I would have bet it.
Yeah, there it is. There it is.
I don't know. I mean, Clay Holmes is like a really heavy sinker baller guy. Maybe they don't think that Sosa's swing matches up with it.
So this Donovan
Mitchell.
What's his name?
Donovan Walton.
Donovan, is he a second baseman at
yeah.
least? Okay.
Yeah. By trade.
That sounds like there's part of the delegation out there.
No, he's very white.
Nice try. Maybe next year.
You got Taiwan.
Got Taiwan.
You had Joe Ross.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, Joe Ross, he went. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So he was up in Lehigh Valley. He was hitting .339 with an .837 OPS. So.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right.
Yeah, so
as long as he can play defense. And the other thing, it's Sanchez tonight, right? It's
yes,
Christopher
yes.
Sanchez. Well, he's a ground ball pitcher, and if we can have a functional infield, it gives us a better chance with Christopher Sanchez.
It is just weird, though. You could just play Sosa at short. You could put Sod at second, and like, I don't know how Walton is defensively. Admittedly, not watched every Iron Pigs game, although
yeah.
I was watching the Piggies earlier. And
we know, in the meeting.
Today. And Andrew Painter kind of went Shove City. So.
Right. Well, maybe in year four.
No, I should have brought him up. Shut up. Yeah. Both of you. Shut up.
Oh, I heard he's recovering from Tommy John surgery.
Yeah.
He's going to be 37 recovering from Tommy
John. He's pitched a lot of innings this
year.
Oh,
sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is Ranger the game?
Do you have any other stuff?
I'll get there.
Okay.
I think it's interesting that Castellanos is sitting tonight. Even though he has played a little bit better recently.
Like, yes.
So, stick with the plan.
I know, yeah. But I'm surprised, obviously, his contract status and Topper is like one that trusts the veterans. And he's really committing to this.
Yeah.
Yeah, something tells me at some point, along the line over the last few weeks, he didn't handle it as well, he probably voiced his opinion again.
Castellanos?
Yes.
I'm sure. And I'll give Castellanos credit. I forget who did the interview. I'm sorry. But there were good quotes from Castellanos.
It was Scott Lauber.
Scott Lauber. There were good quotes from Castellanos about his teammates.
Yes.
About that he cares about Kepler. Bader seems like a good guy.
Sure.
He wants them all to succeed.
I think there were some conversations had.
Yeah. Well, and he performed in the times that he's been in there the last few times. He had the only RBI of the game in game one. He had a couple of hits
Broke up the game last night, too.
Yeah.
It's working.
Yeah, just keep whatever.
I don't need to put him out there more. Actually, what Topper is doing is working.
I agree with you. I'm just surprised.
Well, it doesn't sound like it.
It is. I agree with you. I'm glad they're doing it. I'm just surprised given how he's managed here. Castellanos is back, sticking out there every game.
Yeah.
All right.
And I did appreciate last night.
You've already shipped him out of town.
He's gone. It's fine.
Yeah,
well, and
is
Marsh?
I'm waiting on you to go back on that.
Oh, he will. He will. He promised me Bohm last offseason. What about, is Marsh back or is Marsh still sick?
Marsh is in the lineup tonight. He's batting fifth.
Okay.
I did appreciate Castellanos last night. Him and Bader have a handshake. And at the end of the handshake, they both give the ring finger to each other.
Oh, there you go.
Shows they're locked in.
Bader's got a handshake with everybody, I think.
Everyone's got a handshake with everyone down there. It's a beautiful.
I don't know how they remember. It's the most impressive thing these ball players have.
Oh, yeah.
The handshakes.
There's no way I could remember all that stuff.
The best is the Thompson and Sosa one. They have a handshake.
Oh, do they?
They do that?
Yeah. Thompson's got a little... Got a little riz as the kids.
Yeah, really? You know what thing I noticed? Because I know the Phillies.
I don't know if that's what that means.
No, not even close. I'll show you it, though. It's kind of cool.
Yeah. Doesn't mean that at all.
Nah.
I know the Phillies do it, but then I saw the Mets doing a different one last night. I don't know if I like every ball player, every time he gets a hit, has to do some sort of like...
Oh, yeah, everybody.
Dippily-do with his hands.
What are they doing? Getting
the Mets, after they get a little single, they do this. Shove it. Yeah. I hate them.
Well, the Phillies do something every time.
Not on first base.
They don't?
No, second base.
Okay.
They have standards.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Yeah, I just saw Alonso.
Sure about that?
No.
Alonso was down 8-2, and he's like...
Yeah, getting his roll on.
Come on,
I don't know what that is.
Get out of here.
Are you starting to understand the Alonso thing?
I don't love Alonso. I just thought he would help the team. No, I definitely don't love Alonso, I promise. I just thought he would help the team.
Tonight I'll be out at Screwballs in King of Prussia.
Oh.
Little high hopes of
that. Aptly named.
Yep. Nailed it.
Screwball.
Nailed it. So me and Celso, a little high hopes watch party. You can win Phil's trivia. If you do well in Phil's trivia, you can win Philly's tickets.
Okay.
And then Saturday I'll be signing and selling copies of Ring the Bell. At Contract and Brewing Company in KOP.
You got any other plugs here?
Jeez.
Should I keep going or no?
One more.
One more?
Yeah.
All right. All right. Scale of 1 to 10, Spike. This one is for you personally.
Okay.
What's your trust level in David Robertson and Matt Strom? Because I know you've been anti-Strom.
With 10 being, you really trust him?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You got to be below 5 with both of these guys.
Really?
Gotta be.
Robertson is a 6. I like that he is another guy like Taiwan and Ranger who is unfazed by the guy hits a bomb off him.
Yeah.
Seems like his stuff is pretty good. He just needs to be perfect with it, which is sort of similar to Ranger. It's not the kind of reliever I usually like. I usually like when guys throw hard, he doesn't throw particularly hard. But he's been good since he's been back. Strom's an accident waiting to happen. Strom's a 3.
Yeah, you know he wasn't going for Strom.
Yeah, 3-8. A 3-8. He's looked good. I mean, and he did have stones in that,
Brewers game against the
Cowboys. Yeah, Brewers game. Guys on second and third, I think. It was just a guy on third, but it was a big strikeout.
There were some bad things.
Yeah.
JT threw the ball in the center field. He went to third base.
Yeah. I think. What's your trust level?
I trust Strom more than I trust Robertson.
1 to 10. Let's go.
I would say Strom is getting back above a 5, so I put him at a 6.
Okay.
Robertson, a direct 5.
Direct 5. All right.
Wasn't that far off.
Yeah. No. Not that far off at all. So coming up next, Brian Baldinger, who will join us every single Wednesday at 4 o'clock on the WIP Afternoon Show. We'll talk to Baldy about the Dallas game, but also look ahead to the Chiefs game on Sunday. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.